somebody say praise the Lord? Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Had church over the weekend, didn't we? Amen. Brother Mike Price just blessed her heart. And I tell you what, just some tremendous times. Well, we're back one more time tonight. You have come to camp meeting in September. Early September, you're right back at camp meeting. That don't hurt your feelings, does it? Are you glad you get to come to the house of the Lord? Are you glad you love to come to the house of the Lord? Are you glad you're in love with Jesus Christ? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Yes, I thank God for the prayer request. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad you're here. Brother Michael, if you're ready to show this on the screen tonight, some of you may have already seen it. This is Brother Tim Pruitt, Sister Karen Pruitt's grandchild, this testimony is about. And I just thought it'd be good to let you see what God has done for their little grandbaby. They're so thrilled. They're so thankful tonight. Brother Michael, if you're ready for that tonight, if you want to just, Brother Harry, could you read that to us while you've got a microphone over there tonight?
A tribute to a living God, an announcing of the Jubilee, Brother Tim Pruitt. Our grandson, Drew Dexter, was not crawling or walking at 12 months. Drew is the son of Bethany and Michael Dexter. His pediatrician was concerned and sent him to the Shriners Children's Hospital. The doctor's report and x-ray showed his hip was underdeveloped. At family camp, Bethany had her children in bed and was watching them by baby monitor the night of the prayer line. Brother Ron Spencer told her to go get her baby as he had seen him in a vision walking. She ran and got him, and he was prayed for that night. We believed for a complete healing. Although sometime afterward he took a few steps, he did not walk even after Karen's brain bleed. After coming home from the hospital, she was in her room feeling down and sorry for herself and wondering about her future. Then the presence of the Lord came down into the room and lifted her spirit until a praise went forth from her lips unto God. At the same time, Drew, who is living with us, stood and raised up on his feet and began walking all through the house. Bethany took Drew to the Shriners today, 9/1/15, and the doctor's x-ray showed a perfectly normal hip for an 18-month-old. No need for any follow-up visits.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You may be facing whatever tonight. Only you and the Lord maybe know what you're facing. But I'm going to tell you something. There's power in praise. You begin to remind Him of His Word. And think about what He's done for you. Past victories in your life. Past healings in your life. Things He's done for you that nobody else could do. You begin to think about them things. Pretty soon you're going to realize that He's still God. And He's still able to give you the desires of your heart. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, before we read the request tonight, let's just sing that little chorus. God is good. And all the time. One more time. God is good. And all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord. You better stand up while we try to sing this tonight. Oh, our God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is.
He's good all the time.
Oh, you can search the whole world over. No greater dream you'll find.
And He's not good just once in a while. Once in a while, He's good all the time.
Sing it one more time. Oh, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over. No greater than you'll find. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Our God is good, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Come up here for 2 minutes. This is a man that's been down, sitting down because he couldn't get up. He's moving pretty good tonight.
Listen, let me tell you something. God's word cannot fail. You accept it. You have the Spirit of God in you. You can't fail. 4 weeks I had a pain on my back. My wife can tell you. I cried. I screamed. I couldn't sleep. And I was praying for the Lord to heal me all the time. I never doubted my healing would take place. I'm here.
Glory. Hallelujah. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. Hallelujah. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. We give You praise tonight, Lord. Oh, blessed be Your holy name. Praise the Lord. Well, just remain standing if you don't care while we look at these prayer requests. I want to remember Sister Alma Potter in prayer, for Newfoundland in prayer, for situations she's involved in, that God will lead and guide her by His Holy Spirit in matters concerning her and other believers. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Aaron Rigsby sends this in to please pray for Jeff Brunson from Alabama. He has complications from eye surgery, 33 years old, and needs eyesight to work. He has knee surgery coming up on September the 8th. Also, an unspoken prayer request I'd like for us to remember. Sister Brenda Harmon called, request prayer for Jimmy Cantrell. He has a blood clot near the heart and is facing a very serious surgery for it this coming Friday. Remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Brother Jim Babb, who will be having an MRI tomorrow on his kidney. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Sister Joanne Tessa, who requests traveling mercy as her and her husband take their daughter home. So let's remember that tonight. Brother Eugene Kennedy says to please pray for my father. He was stung by a red wasp and is having a severe side effect. So we want to remember that tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says thank you for your continued prayers for Max's niece Cindy. She had breast cancer. She had her last chemo today. They did a test last week and said that her tumor is gone. In 3 weeks, they're going to remove two lymph nodes and send them off for test. If there is no cancer, they will release her. So we'll just believe the Lord for that, won't we? I want to pray for Eli McCoy, homesick, running a fever. Let's remember that need tonight. Sister Lou Bean says her neighbor has asked that we would remember her family in prayers. Her mother is in her 80s, suffering with pneumonia. She has a 3-year-old grandson with a rare blood vessel disease. He's in critical condition. She also has a 2-month-old grandson that is having surgery tomorrow for a hernia. Also, Brother Alan Bean is homesick with flu-like symptoms. My brother Fred is having complications with his heart. The doctors are running tests and has said that he may be looking at open heart surgery. Please keep him in your prayer. So we just commit those needs to the Lord. Brother Larry, God bless you. Glad to see you're able to be back in the service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord is just so mindful of us. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God's bigger than whatever our problem is? You believe that with all your heart? God is bigger than whatever our problem is. Brother Rob, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit these things unto God. Invite His presence into this service tonight. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. We come to you once again with thanksgiving in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that have come forth through this platform and the opportunity for you to magnify your power through your bride. Thank you for the living God among us. Thank you for testimonies that bring forth the joy and things that await for heaven, heavenly beings, Lord, to be present among us. And thank you, Lord, for our hopes and desires to come and become fruitful here in this place as we bring our prayer requests before you. Lord, there's prayer requests here that are needs, Lord, but I'm just so thankful, Lord, for the testimonies about to come forth. Thank you for your prayer. Help us to believe, Lord. Help us to accept the fact that you are our healer. Help us to believe, Lord, that you'll do it for us and confess it is already done. Thank you for your grace to us. I thank you so much, Lord, for your light and your life and your joy and all these things to come forward. We look forward to the things that we'll hear in church today. We look forward to have them come to pass through the week. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of your brother Timothy Pruitt. Thank you, Lord, for that child that was healed. Thank you for making yourself real, not 60 or 50 years ago, but real in our lives this day. Scripture being fulfilled before our ears. Thank you, Lord, for these testimonies that are coming forth as in the form of these prayer requests. And thank you for the living God among us, a down payment on our resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you, Brother Charlie. That blessed my heart to see you moving around, buddy. It's not Charlie Therese to see him sitting there on that bench, not being able to move around. He's a mover. We love you, Brother Charlie. God bless our brother. We love Brother Charlie Therese, don't we? Amen. We certainly do. Praise the Lord. Ushers, come tonight. Receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. It's just a tremendous privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand real quick. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Give me Jesus. Let's sing that tonight. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, oh, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. give me Jesus. Oh, just give me. Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I am alone, when I am alone, when I'm so alone, oh, sing it to him. Leave, Brother Harry. Somebody say praise the Lord, Brother John. Brother John, come get ready to sing. Brother John Cockman, you come get ready to sing behind him tonight, if you would. We'll have a couple of songs. You can be seated. God bless you. We'll go right on into the service. Let's give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for us.
Really not much of a singer, but I love the Lord and I love to praise Him. Brother Michael, can you put that song up? I Am Nothing Without You. If you know it, sing it with me. Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. For I am nothing without you. Take my voice and pour it out and let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I am nothing, Lord, I am nothing without you. And all my soul needs is all your love to cover me. Build it up. May it be broken as an offering of love. For I am nothing, I am nothing without you. And all my soul on this earth, and let it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing, Lord, I am nothing without you.
I believe that. I know I'm nothing. I know you're nothing. He says, I'm not a good singer. You're a gifted young man, Brother John. My daughter has never let me down, let me forget about the time Brother Louie called on John and I got up. They still tell new friends about that. I appreciate the praise reports. Oh, my word. I've been lifted up today so much already. Last time I was here, I talked about my nephew with the night terrors. You know what? After that prayer, she emailed the whole family the next night. She said, we've had more sleep than we've had in 2 months. He was up every night with violent night terrors. And it ended the night the church prayed, and she sent out that email to the family. I just praise God for his closeness and for his realness. I pray for, thank you for what he's done for Brother Larry over here. We caught him the other day. He was back in church on Wednesday. We couldn't believe it. It's just, that's a miracle of itself. Such a bittersweet weekend this past weekend with friends and believers in Kentucky. Wonderful service up there. My be in prayer for my Aunt Margaret. She, my dad's sister, was diagnosed and had an MRI with cancer in her brain. They're not even attempting treatment. They sent her home. So be in prayer. We've been with her this week in Knoxville. Brothers, play with me in the key of G. We're not alone. Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, and the darkness was black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand and let me stand where no one. I may live in a palace tall, with great riches to call my own, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, I know.
Brothers, both of them, good songs, good singers. Let's stand tonight. Time to go right into the service. I know you're going to be looking forward to the word of the Lord tonight. Let's sing a little chorus. Brother Donnie sent us this chorus. Brother Harry got sent to him too, I believe. We've never tried this, but you know what? We get to learn it together. That's the beauty of it all. We get to learn it together. So let's see if we can do this. You got it up there for me? Is that G? All right. Put it up just a little bit. Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. The finish line, I'll see God's face. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finish line,
saved. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finish line, I'll see God's face.
Well, if you can help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Not a reason. Oh, yes. Running by faith and the faith of smile, I'll see God's face. Brother Andrew Glover sent me that one day this week. A black lady sitting on the piano bouncing up and down, and she had wrote that song, and I thought, that sounds like Happy Valley song. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would. Chapter 16, verse 28. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Happy to be together in the presence of God. Let's speak again tonight about the lives of the prophets. We'll look again at Moses.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 16, verse 28. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." You better not say this unless you know exactly what you're saying. But he did. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked me, Aaron, my sister, the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, that even though these are negative in one way, we're grateful that you allowed these things to be written in the Word, that we would be able to look at how you are and how you deal with people when they refuse your Word and your messenger and your message. We know these were not Philistines, Amorites, Hittites. They were not uncircumcised, but they were Jews in the service supposedly of God. So, Father, I pray, may it teach us all a lesson that you will not absolutely by any means excuse any form of unbelief, whether it's from a preacher, a singer, a deacon, a trustee. It makes no difference to you. You hate unbelief. Help us, I pray, Lord. Speak to us tonight by your word. Heavenly Fathers, I hold in my hand this prayer cloth, Lord Jesus. You know the need that it's represented by us. I preach with it tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you just minister to it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the saints said again.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Moses has now been provoked as far as God will allow it to go. Korah has reached his height. Dathan, Abiram, the 250, they have swollen in their pride. They have escalated to a place, to where it seems like they are embarrassing the elect. They have bragged, they have boasted, they have blowed about what they are and what they're going to do and how they're going to do this and that and the other. And God let the elect bear an element of humiliation until it come to the spot to where God said, no more.
Amen.
Then in verse 29, Moses begins to direct this toward these men and how they're going to die. If these men die the common deaths of all men, if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Now how they die is going to determine whether this man is a prophet or not. Now we know he was a prophet of God by vindication of what God done, but what are they questioning? They are questioning his authority as a servant of God. So Moses said, fine, I'll hinge everything that I am. I'll hinge my commission. I'll hinge all the things God has sent me to do on the death of these men. And if these men die of high blood pressure, cancer, if they die a normal death, I am a false prophet. Wow. Now, a prophet of God is not going to say such things without he has something from the Lord. You believe that? But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them. Now, this word here is make a new thing is actually create a creation. Create a creation. Something that was never before done that is going to be created specially for this instant. Now, we know Moses did not have the power to do this. Nor could Moses just have said this and God would have done it at Moses' beck and call. But no doubt God has showed him apparently a vision or whispered to him, let him know it, the word of God coming to the prophet. This is why I can stand with such assurance. Look, friend, the visions to God's prophets aren't always grand and glorious. Sometimes they have destruction in them. They have consummation and death for the unbeliever. You think the seventh vision of America that Brother Branham had was one of glory? You think the seventh vision, the last one that he has, was one of great conquering ability and great love and great power? It is our nation being annihilated. Oh my. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a part of that vision being fulfilled. Now notice how Moses hinges this when he says, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now watch how he's basing it. If these men die normal deaths, then God has not sent me. But if God creates something new that has never been done before, so you will see it before your very eyes, then if God does that, by this, you will understand what God has sent me to do. Notice in verse 31. And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words. Notice how God so synchronized this new creation with the words of his prophet. No doubt God gave him what to say, how long to say it, what emphasis to put on it. And when he got done saying it, immediately the earth began to coincide with what the prophet of God said. Hey, I don't care who you are, no man has power to cause earthquakes. No man has the ability to command the earth, but notice how God is, what is he doing? Vindicating his prophet. Now not with signs of glory and all that, but now with signs of judgment. I hate to say it, but I've got to tell the truth. Many of these folks who've left the message, one of these days they're going to wake up and recognize in the tribulation period, and they'll look back and realize what they missed, as we heard it this past weekend. Then they'll begin to gnash with their teeth. Oh God, I'm so glad I'm not going to be around when that takes place. And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking. As soon as it finished, as soon as Moses had finished this discourse of prophecy of what God had given him, look what the scripture says. The ground clave asunder that was under them. You talking about a miracle. Now I want you to think, Moses and Aaron and the elect of God are not standing 5 miles from where these people are standing. They're standing in the same vicinity. They are standing right near them. They are standing right near where they are. But God protects his own. Praise be to God. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah. Except all of those that didn't appertain unto Korah. All of those that appertained unto Korah and all of their goods. Now I want you to notice now, listen carefully how this is. Korah is not actually standing here when the earth opens them up and swallows. Korah is standing over here with the censer. So Korah does not get swallowed up in this earthquake. Fire will get Mr. Dathan, Abiram, all these other people, their children, their innocent babies, their innocent children that are underage. Praise the Lord. All their animals, all their tents, all their goods, and everything that appertained unto Korah. Now, I want you to notice now, there was a division between that which belonged to Korah and that which they thought belonged to Korah but did not belong to Korah. Amen. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah. But notice Numbers chapter 26 and verse 11. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. So everything that appertained unto Korah died. But the children did not die. Why? God needed parents and a genealogy for Samuel the prophet. You see, Samuel the prophet descended from Korah's lineage. Heman, the king's seer in the book of Chronicles, descended from Korah's lineage. Hallelujah. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 18. Who hitherto walked in the king's gate eastward. They were the porters in the companies of the children of Levi. And Shulam, the son of Kore, the son of Eliasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren of the house of his father, the Korahites, who were work of the service, keepers of the gates of the tabernacle, and their fathers being over the hosts of the Lord were keepers of the entry. Now here were some people who descended from Korah, but yet because some of Korah's sons did not follow this nonsense and pulled away from the message, amen, they still stayed right there, and God used them and allowed their generations thereafter to be keepers in the house of God. Praise be to God. Aren't you glad God's got a number? Notice this in Psalms 42:1. To the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. For the sons of Korah. Now notice this psalm that is written to the sons of Korah. Now the sons of Korah were still living in the time of David. And they were the musicians and the singers in the house of God. And David wrote several of these psalms that were directed to the sons of Korah. Amen. Now I want you to notice the content of this psalm and how it's written to them. Now you remember that Brother Branham used this several times when he preached about thirst and how the deer panteth after the water brook. And he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What an epitome of the sons of Korah who thirsted after God more than they thirsted to be like their daddy. Now, if your daddy's a godly man and you want to be like him, that's one thing. But brother, sister, if your mama, your daddy leaves contrary to the word, you better stay with that word. Now you imagine this psalm that was written to these singers. You know, whenever they stood up to sing it, and they would stand there anointed by the presence of God, and they would sing about the heart. I say they were so grateful that their great, 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 great grandfather did not take sides with their father. But when the earthquake came, he was on the right side of the earthquake. Praise be to God. He was standing not with Korah, not with Dathan, not with Abiram, but they were standing with the prophet of God. Let folks call me whatever they want to. Let them run me down. Let them make all kinds of videos of me, whatever they want. It's only free advertisement anyhow. I read yesterday where Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, you ought to go down there and curse that certain newspaper. They printed all this stuff against you, this criticism. He said, no, brother, I don't want to do that. They are giving me hundreds and hundreds of dollars of free advertisement. Why would I want to do that? Amen. Oh, my, you realize all the advertisement we got on CNN and Fox and ABC and all the rest is, well, we couldn't afford to buy all that for nothing in the world. And the Lord let us have it absolutely free of charge. Free of charge. We're on YouTube. Free of charge in the newspaper. Free of charge on all the major networks, not only in America, but in different ones around the world. Free of charge. Well, it was free. It might have caused me a few more hairs, and Brother Jim lost several out of his hair there. But I want you to notice now, if we stand for God, look how it can come down and affect our generations. Parents, stand for what's true. Stand for what's right. Teach your children right. Live before them the right way. You might have a Samuel in your genealogy. You might have a Heman in your genealogy. You might have a great singer that will be standing singing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But what if you don't stand up for what's right? Oh my, look at Psalms 44:1. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, my skill. We have heard with our ears, oh God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. Oh, I see. So we have heard, we have been told by our fathers, Father Korah. Not Father Korah. So what fathers was it? Well, of course, it's some original apostolic fathers. Caleb, Joshua, those real faith men. Moses, we have heard. They could stand up and sing, we have heard what our fathers said. But you imagine as they do it in their heart, they're thinking, well, I can't say that about my daddy because my daddy led a rebellion and died and went down into the pit. Psalms 46:1, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamos. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Them old saw them songs, them sons of Korah could stand up and sing, God is my refuge, and they could trace it back. It had some real value to these boys. I guarantee one thing, when they stood there and they think, Lord, if it hadn't been for your grace and your mercy, I appertained unto Korah by genealogy. I should have died with Korah, but there was something in me that was not like Korah. Hallelujah. I should be a Pentecostal church I should be a pastor in a Pentecostal church if I'd follow my family lineage. But there was something in me that does not appertain to Pentecost. There's something in you that did not appertain to a Baptist church or a Catholic church. You had to leave the mass of the Catholic church, and you had to come to a message of the hour where God was calling you on this side of the earthquake and getting you away from the wrath to come upon the earth. Hallelujah. When the saints of God stand there that day, no doubt David will be writing more songs than he will be saying to the sons of Laodicea, to the sons of Ephesus, to the sons of Smyrna, as we stand there and sing triumphant, victorious songs, and we'll stand there and put our arms around Korah's son and say, brothers, we overcome with you. You overcome by that in your day. We overcome Laodicea. We overcome the darkness of the last age on the earth, and now we're all standing here together singing songs and praises to the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah. My, notice verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came a fire from the Lord. Flashes of lightning from the cloud which he was now in. fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. They were offering fire. Fire would kill them. They were not called to handle fire. Now look, friends. You and I, fire will get us now, or it will get us later. If I'm going to be burned by fire, let me be burned now. If the fire and the justice of God has got to break forth on my sinful nature, let it do it now while I am immortal. And let that nature be consumed in the wrath of that pillar of fire. Hallelujah! Oh my, don't let me go to Elijah Wild and let the wrath of God and the fire of God break forth on me. No, let it happen to me right now. Don't you see what happened? These men that were called of God to handle the fire, why did not fire go to them? Because they were a partaker of that fire. But these men were not partakers, and the very thing they was trying to handle killed them. Oh Lord Jesus. Now you would think by this display of the miraculous power of God, the children of Israel would never say another thing. Verse 41. But on the morrow. Okay, so let's make it like today. Today is Wednesday. It happened on Wednesday. The earth come open. All these people went down into the pit. 250 of them were killed. Korah was killed. Dathan and Abiram, all these people were killed. We smelled the smoke of the abyss as the earth opened up. Our flesh trembled as the earth shook around us. We heard their screams. We heard them holler. We heard them as they went into nearly convulsions of sporadic emotion. And this is still fresh from yesterday. This is still fresh on our memory. It's haunted us all night long. We'll never forget those cries. We'll never forget the shrieks of those children as they went down into the pit. And yet in the morning, all of us gathered together against the prophet of God. You know, friends, as I look at this and study this, to be honest with you, I don't know why the Lord had anything to do with these people. Let me bring it on down. I don't understand why the Lord even has anything to do with any of us. Some of the Baptist folks, Methodist folks, Pentecostals, much better folks than some of us are. Preach, Brother Donnie. I'm talking about looking on the outside. But you see, God looks on the inside where I can see. And He sees that deposit of His seed. Glory. I think that the justice of God moving on them and the shrieks and the shrills and the smell of burning flesh and seeing these bodies as they are basically obliterated right there in their presence as the fire comes out and destroys them. And they hear the screams and all this going on. And then tomorrow, on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Oh my. This is so surprising. But you realize it proves one thing to us. Fear, destruction does not change men's hearts. God could supernaturally wipe out half of these people that's left the message. All these is doing websites telling lies on Brother Branham. Would it change the other half? More than likely not. They would identify it with some electrical charge that went into the computer that ran into the keyboard, or they ate something and it made them sick to their stomach, or they'd try to find some kind of explanation because that's unconverted heart. What really changes a heart is the grace of God, not the fear of God. And this is why we don't want to serve God, because we're scared of going to hell. You'll never make the right kind of wife for the Lord Jesus as long as you're living it out of fear. So whenever they begin to sing, and they've mulled over it over the night, and they've talked about it, it doesn't really say now that they had an individual leader. So it must have been something among the majority of the congregation, and oh my, I mean they are so bent out of shape. On the morrow, all the congregation, the images of these sights are still in their mind. The smell in their nostrils and reminiscing of what they heard, they'll never get over it. But it was not enough to scare them into obedience. I'm glad I live for the Lord because I love Him, don't you? Punishment, fear, and scariness will never change people's hearts. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The same thing. Now they're murmuring against the same two men that God had vindicated the day before. Now notice their murmuring. Look at what they say. Ye have killed the people of the Lord. They're blaming all that yesterday on Moses. He's a pretty powerful man. I mean, if he can open up the earth and shut the mouths of the earth and cause lightning to come and fire to come, I mean, that's a powerful guy. They are blaming every bit of it on Moses and said, ye have killed the people of the Lord. That was bad enough to say, you done it. But notice how they recategorize. They are fixing to canonize Korah. They are fixing to canonize Dathan, Abiram. They are fixing to make saints out of these rebels. I'll tell you one thing, friends. It makes God very upset whenever we call hypocrites, liars, and devils, and we give them sainthood. And it makes Him feel exactly the same way when we take saints of God and call them names. And sarcasm. When God says, you're my beloved, and we call them things that's beneath. We need to be careful what we're saying. We're talking about God's wife. Come on now. Oh my. Notice in the moral actor, do you think that people, how quick it could leave? You'd think something like that would so scare them. It would stay with them for weeks and weeks. But it's like it was there today and gone tomorrow. Look in verse 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Now what have they said? What has provoked God to this place? They still accused Moses of killing them and they called these people the people of the Lord. Oh my goodness. They looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation and behold, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared. You realize God has come to kill them all. God has come to annihilate every last one of them. They have tread on His prophet. They have tread on His priesthood. They blaspheme God's name, God's character, God's word. Now they look toward the congregation or the tabernacle there and they see the glory of the Lord. And Moses and Aaron, verse 43, came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, get you up from among the congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. He's saying the same thing that he said before and before and before. Mama, that I may consume them in a moment. Now look, Moses has been walked on. He has been trampled on. He has been ridiculed, made fun of. Aaron has been ridiculed. Aaron has been made fun of. If anybody's got a right to have a hurt feeling and be offended and not pray, it's Moses and Aaron. But these are real servants of God. They have the ability to move upon the offenses of people. They have the ability to even move beyond the ignorances of people. And when the real desperate need comes, look who's on their faces again. Again, again, and again. Get you up from among the congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Why? To hold back the wrath of God. Now how hard would it be when you've been ridiculed, you've been laughed at, you've been lied on, your motives have been totally been misrepresented. You've been accused of wanting to be a dictator. You've been accused of all these things as absolute lies.
You've been accused of being killed the people the day before, and yet you would be able to get all of that out of your way and honestly, sincerely pray for these people.
Can you do it? Brother Bert, this young man right here. Brother Tim's kind of waving his finger there. I'm not sure if he's still thinking about it. Well, maybe I should stop right now and make an altar call dealing with this. Now think of it, friends. Moses and Aaron didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so we need more again. We need to move up, don't we? Now watch. Moses is going to give instruction for something that seems profound. It almost seems anti-scriptural. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer. Take a censer. Now I want you to notice who's doing this. It's not the prophet. It's the ministry, the priesthood, which has been questioned by these people. Take a censer. And put fire therein from off the altar. Now you know this is an urgent thing. Now the censer was laid up in the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron are standing at the door of the tabernacle, and the cloud has covered the tabernacle, so Aaron is going to have to walk through the wrath of God. Lord Jesus. To be able to even get the censer. God is angry. God is upset. But these people being saved, but the priesthood must walk directly face to face in the anger of God. You imagine Aaron, if he had a right, Brother Darrell, surely he had a right. Think of it. This man is over 100 years old. But he's going to take off running among the people. Why, the need is so desperate and so great. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer. Now what's happened? The plague has broke out. Tell me, what physician or doctor would use this as a cure? A plague has broke out among the people. And a doctor tells a priest, take a censer, take fire off the altar, and sprinkle an incense on it, and go among the people. Make an atonement. I thought an atonement could only be made with blood. Come on now. What doctor would prescribe this? Dr. God. And he related it down to Dr. Moses. And Dr. Aaron filled the prescription. Hang on. And became their savior. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. You imagine as they begin to think, and Aaron's thinking in his mind, I've never done this before. I've never offered an atonement without blood. I thought without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Take a censer and put fire therein from the off the altar. You know, Moses realized this is an urgent thing, but he wants Aaron to get the fire from the right place. He knew that Aaron being tore up, and Aaron was older than Moses, remember. And Aaron been all tore up in the urgency, he could get the fire from a different place. But he knew if he'd done that, God would kill him. So the prophet directs the ministry where to get the fire. Don't get the fire, don't borrow it off of a Luther's revival, or off of Wesley's revival. Don't borrow it off of Pentecost, but go back to that original altar. Go back, oh children, we don't need them to have us some kind of revival. All we need is us to go back to the original fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That'll produce a bride's revival. So what's he telling? Go back to the altar. Glory. Put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense. Now here he's got the censer in his hand. And he runs in under the judgment of God, and he grabs the fire off the altar, and then he grabs the incense. Now he's got the censer in one hand and the incense in the other, and he carries it out the door of the tabernacle.
Glory.
Go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. No lamb, no turtle dove, no pigeon, no bullock. This old man, over 100 years old, grabs the censer, grabs the fire, grabs the incense, and he runs back out. He's been offended. He's been talked about. He's been falsely accused. He's been lied on. But this man is going to have the ability to so get himself out of the way that God will let him become the Savior and save these people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice the word that Moses says, make an atonement. Look at this word, atonement, the verb, the verb, the verb, not a noun, not an adjective, the verb, which is a word of action, kafar, properly signifies to reconcile God to men through the medium of an expiation. The sense of Moses is rightly expressed by a single word, as one may say, to purge, to lustrate from pollution. So here, the prophet of God is sending Aaron. It's not Moses doing it. It is the ministry. Come on, I don't get tired on me. It is the prophet of God directing them, take that word out among them and let it provide an atonement for the people. Where's the blood at? Where's the blood? Where's the sprinkle of the blood? That's not what God appropriated for this time. The plague has begun. Now what if Moses would have sat down and said, go ahead and kill them. God, I don't like them. No way. Look at all the gray hair they've caused me. Look at all the trouble they caused me. A bunch of absolute unbelievers and infidels. I don't know why I'm more liable left than I am. Go ahead and kill them. God, I take you up on that offer you made that you'd make a bunch out of me. Just go ahead, kill every one of them and make a nation out of me. You can fulfill my promise, your promise right through me. Get rid of the whole bunch. But Moses was acting under the Spirit of Christ. No bitterness. Hang on now, children. Oh my. Aaron illustrates the works of our Savior. As he goes under the judgment of God, you imagine the plague has broke loose in the camp. And Aaron's got to go where it's at. And there's people dying with fire or plague. They're not really even sure what it was that they begin to die, but they begin to see it. And Aaron takes off with the censer in his hand. And when he comes near the wrath of God, he goes to dropping the incense on the fire and the smoke comes up. But he must be right there. He can't text it down. He can't email it down. He can't throw it down. But the Savior must walk right among the plague. Amen. The Savior must walk right among the plague of death. Don't you see why the Lord Jesus couldn't save us from heaven? He had to come down here. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Notice this. God has had several Saviors down through the ages. Nehemiah 9:27, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, speaking about the children of Israel, who vexed them at the time of the trouble when they cried unto thee. Thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercy, thou gavest them. What? Saviors. Saviors who saves them out of the hand of their enemies. Obadiah 1:21, and Savior shall come on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So Aaron, the Savior, is sent right among the children where death is. Aaron, the Savior. What if it had been Aaron, the man with an attitude? Aaron, the man that misjudged or misunderstood. Aaron, the man, hey, you think I'm going to do that? After what they've done to me, the way they've talked about me, the way they've run me down, and you want me to be their Savior? Praise God. Some of you mothers might actually be a secondary Savior to your rebellious children. Some of you fathers, some of you that work with people that seem like they absolutely hate you, you might become a secondary, listen to my words, a secondary savior. You cannot save anybody from sin. We know that. That's why I say secondary. The Lord is the only one that can save a man's soul. But you might save them from something that they would go into, a crossing over a spot, into blasphemy, or saving them from a terrible, terrible state of trouble, that God would use you. Hang tight. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyhow. God sent us a savior in this last day as a prophet. God's got a savior in this pulpit, a pastor. God's got saviors out on the field, evangelists. Come on now. Don't sit there. Oh, Brother Donnie, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you wouldn't say amen to it. It's the word of God. No man is your savior of your soul. But how many men of God have stood right here behind this place and the Lord used the gift in their life to save you from a terrible mistake he's fixing to make? So they were serving under the savior. It was the ministry of the savior through other saviors. Hallelujah to God. God is looking for people that can be surrendered so to him that he can use them to help save people. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded. Now, what if Aaron would have given Moses the word test? And said, now, wait a minute, prophet of God. That ain't what you said over here. According to what you said over here in the book of Leviticus, whenever it comes to sin offering, we're supposed to do this and this and that. You're saying one thing here, and now you're saying something different right here. Now, Moses, I'll follow you as long as you're in the Bible. You spiritual ignoramus. Do you honestly think God wants your opinion on how to run his kingdom? God don't need my opinion, your opinion. I don't care if you're pink, white, black, red, yellow. I don't care if you're so filthy rich you could be burned in money and your mattresses and every one of your bedrooms is full of $100 bills. God don't need your interpretation of his word. God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. But instead of Aaron arguing, now wait a minute, I'm going to give you the word test, Moses. You imagine people going to give Brother Branham a word test. What in the world's the matter with this bunch of people in this age we live? They've lost their mind. Former Trinitarian, some of you baptized by women preachers and sat under women preachers and bobbed your hair and wore mini skirts and breeches, and you're going to test Elijah? Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran. Over 100 years old. And he ran in this high office of dignity and honor. But right now, what took precedent over this high office was people dying. You know, it said in the scripture that for a man of dignity and honor to run was humiliating. He was humbling himself to run. It was a sign of humiliation. Oh, but he come running for me one day. Oh, glory to God. So here is Aaron with the ephod and Aaron with the breastplate and all this high office of dignity. But what did he do, Brother Jim? He took off running in urgency. He did not look polite and he did not look calm and all mannerly and all that. You imagine him running and getting another time he got to it. He was sweating and perspiring. Why? Because people were dying like that. If he waits another 5 minutes, another 100 may die. If he stalls another 10 minutes, another 200 may die. It requires urgency. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. What is Aaron? The Savior and the lover of the people. He loved them beyond their faults. He loved them beyond their ignorance and their stupidity. Now I'm talking about rapture material right now, friends. This is why a lot of folks around this message will never be able to love this way. They can't.
They love people that go along with them. They love people that don't have major flaws in their character. But real love can love beyond human faults. Real love can love beyond shortcomings. Come on, children. Real love. Well, you say, how do you get that? Because that's the way God loves. How does God love you? Beyond your human faults. How does God look at you? Beyond human faults. He loves you beyond your shortcomings. Aren't you glad? If he didn't, he'd never love one human being except for the Lord Jesus. But look at this man. He's putting all the hurt aside, all the shortcomings aside, all that aside, all they've run down, all the words they've said. You imagine when he'd walk among the people and they'd whisper, look at him, look at him. He don't want to be that himself. Moses put him into that. God never done that, but now he had to lay all that aside. Why are these people's lives at stake? We can waste around and waste around. Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings and so-and-so. Do you think that's what church is all about? Do you think church is about you not getting your feelings hurt? Folks are dying. Folks are turning away from the Word. Folks are dying, friends. The hour is late. It's urgent. Lord Jesus. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst. Not into the church, the tabernacle, but he run to where the sinners were. He run right into the midst of them people who had ridiculed him and laughed at him and made fun of him. Because that's where God's wrath was. The judgment of God right among them. Maybe he walked right up by a man and that man keeled over and died. And he comes out and, oh God, please help me, God. Now Moses, you come in and do this. No, Aaron, you are the one questioned. God's fixing to prove who you are. They didn't just question me. Amen. They questioned you. And God is fixing to prove you are a servant of His. Oh my. Look at it, church. The plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense. He put on incense and made an atonement with incense. Where was the lamb? Where was the turtle dove? Where was the pigeon? Where's blood? Hallelujah. No wonder our Lord Jesus had to come down and put on a veil of humanity. And walk right in where the plague was at. Not just leprosy and healing the sick and all that. He had to go to the very heart, which was death. He had to be even greater than Arnold von Winkelord. He had to stand right up there and today I give my life for my bride. Amen. He had to stand right there and let all the spears and pull the spears of death and the fear of death and the chills of death and all that sort of thing of death right into his own bosom. Why? He was Aaron. He was Aaron, the priest, the real priest of God. He had to walk right in the middle of the judgment of God. And this is he who cometh from Bozrah with dyed garments on. What was it, Bozrah? It was the dyed garments where he'd been down. He said, I got among the grapes of the wrath of God. I tread out the wrath of God. I did it by myself. Moses wasn't with him. Jeremiah wasn't with him. He was right in the middle of the vat of God. And whenever he treaded out the grapes, you know what he done? He handed you the stimulation of forgiveness. He handed you the wine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost because he tread out the wrath of God. And he got in the wrath and he said, I will become their atonement. I will offer an expiation of their sins. Hallelujah. And God stayed deaf. What's God's divine wisdom? So here comes Aaron. He's walking like this. He's got the censer and the fire in it. And he's got the incense. He's waiting. And he gets right among the people. And when he gets right among the people and the people's eyes is right on him and death is there, then Aaron goes, whew. When he does, he throws the incense on the fire and the fire begins to billow up in smoke. And when he does, maybe somebody's there. And he walked over near the smoke and we got near the smoke and said, hallelujah, I'm delivered. Another one over here and another one over there and another one over here. And here come this man of God with fire and incense. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what incense was? It represents prayer. Amen. Look what a man of God today, anointed by the Holy Ghost with fire and incense. A man anointed by the Spirit of God can lay hands on folks with cancer and God will heal them and make them well. What's God doing? God is going to let Aaron be proved among the people. Now you're standing there and your wife is dying, your child is dying, or you are dying and you see not the prophet, but you see the priest, the minister in the house of God as he takes prayer and applies it to fire, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Glory to God. And then the doctors come back with a test. I don't know what happened to this. I'm not sure what happened, but it's gone. It's gone. What is it? Aaron has been walking among the congregation again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. The plague beginning at one end of the camp, and Aaron runs to the other end of the camp. He don't go the other way and scared and all of that, but the prophet of God said, go right in the middle of it. They need a savior. So Aaron goes right among them. Glory to God. And he stood. Now here's people that's dying everywhere. And here's the living. And Aaron stands in the breach. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Aaron gets right in the breach. Here was the living God. Holy angels. Here was the dead. All of humanity. And the Lord Jesus gets right in the breach between the living and the dead. And he offers the atonement. And when he does, those who accept the atonement by faith, the plague of spiritual death is stopped on their souls. Amen. If he would have offered the atonement to stop natural death in our bodies, Peter would still be here tonight screaming amen to the word. But he never stopped natural death. He's going to do that after a while. But he stopped spiritual death, the death of the soul. So Aaron, well, you're talking about a precarious situation, church, that they had laying everywhere. Remember, 14,700 people died in this plague. Yes, sir. They're dying by the hundreds. And he has to walk right in the middle of where death is. Maybe the dead pile right here and the living over here scared to death. And he stands right between them in the breach and said, I am your savior. He stood between the dead and the living. Oh, glory to God. And the plague was stayed. Moses did this? Elijah? Jeremiah? Aaron the priest. We thank God for the prophets. We also thank God for pastors. True ones, I mean. Evangelists. Teachers, missionaries. Oh, hallelujah. Second death, friends, cannot seize upon you. Because we don't have Aaron of the Levitical order in our camp. We have Jesus of the Melchizedek order. If Aaron of the Levitical order could stop a plague, what about Jesus of the Melchizedek order? If Aaron could walk right in where people are dying like flies and they're laying everywhere, if Jesus could walk right in the middle of where second death was raging on our souls, our natures was away from God, and Jesus could walk right in the middle of it, oh hallelujah, he done the same thing to your soul that he done to Lazarus' body when he stepped out of the tomb that day and he knew where Lazarus' spirit was, but Lazarus' nose had already fallen in and his body had started stinking, and Jesus spoke to him and said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. Amen. As a type of the new birth. When Lazarus come out of there, he still had grave clothes on him. So a new man had come on and they had to put the old man off. If you're claiming you're born again and still dressing like Laodicea, you still got on your grave clothes. Amen. The worldly clothes of this age are grave clothes of Laodicea. Amen. Grave clothes is fitting for a man or woman who's in the grave or going to be buried, but they're not fitting for a saint. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Here Aaron stands, not between God and Moses. It's not Moses standing there. It is Aaron. And he stands between God and death, the living and the dead. You imagine him being afraid, so terrified. He'd never stood in a place like this before. He's never stopped us. His brother always done that. His brother was the one who done the great supernatural. But now here he stands in between the living and the dead. Glory to God. Children, as long as I'm in my right mind and got my breath, this is what I'm doing every service when we come to the house of God. Brother Mike stood here last week. Brother Darrell, when he preached, and Brother Terry Horn, all the rest of these brothers, when they stand up here, they are standing between the living and the dead. And they're trying their best to get the plagues of Laodicea off your life. And the issues and things that you're dealing with that God wants you free from. That's what they're doing. They're standing in the breach. And they get something from God, led of the Lord, to say this and preach this and go that direction. What for? They're standing there in the breach and they see something on you that shouldn't be there. Or they feel led to preach it. Don't you know what it is? It's God being mindful of you. God's sending another Aaron right down. He's got the censer in his hand and he's got the incense of what you need for that service, and he goes to pouring it on. And some of you say, glory, that's exactly what I needed. That service was just for me. God sent you a Savior. Thank God for men of God who still have the ability to follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. Notice verse 49, and they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. So we've got just a little bit over 15,000 people who die in a matter of hours apart. All of them message people. They've all come out of Egypt. Most of them, some of them been born now. You know, they're the younger generation. Some of them have been born there. And here they are, all identified under the prophet's message, all eating manna, all drinking water from the rock, all this going on in their lives, and yet God killing them. Why? Unbelief. It'll be harder on us than it will the Pentecostals if we don't make it, friends. Can I have a few more minutes? And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle. Brother Darrell, he must have been exhausted. Can you imagine standing between the angels of death and life? And God allowing you to see it. I would to God, sometimes I didn't see things that I see. People want to see things and want to be spiritual and see things. I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't imagine what comes with it. You see devils on people and spirits on people. And for a lot of them, you can't help them because they think they're so spiritual. And when they get so spiritual, they're beyond correction of the word. They are way too spiritual. They're spiritualism of demons. The Holy Ghost will never lead you contrary to this word. You imagine as he comes back, he's exhausted. He's wore out and he's thinking, oh God, maybe if I'd have run a little faster, I could have got down, I could have cut that down to 14,500. Maybe if I went a little bit quicker, oh God, forgive me if I delayed. You don't know what it's like to be a preacher. You say, oh, that was so good, that was so good, and you beat yourself all to pieces. Lord, if I hadn't said that, maybe it'd been better if I said it this way, and maybe it'd been better if I'd said that, and maybe, Lord, I shouldn't have said this at all, and maybe by the time you get done, you absolutely butcher it. And you're sitting there thinking, oh Lord, it delivered me, it helped me, but you're your worst critic, if you're really a God call, man. If you ain't, then you blow your own horn. You think you're God's greatest gift to man. Don't worry, a man like that ain't born again in the first place. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on. So he returned unto Moses at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. Even before Aaron left the camp. This man has so saved them from death. When he turns and walks away
the people are saved. I don't care how much death tried to get back through. He couldn't get over the top of their Savior. I don't care how much spiritual death tries to come back to you or you or you or pull you into outer darkness or back into spiritual darkness. My Savior will not allow it to come back. My Savior is still in the tabernacle of the congregation. His presence is here. He has delivered us from death. And we are not delivered just temporarily. But if our soul has been delivered from death and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will never be the devil's property again.
Hallelujah. Let me close with this. We all believe there is a point of no return, don't we? To where people cross that line, they'll never come back. Matter of fact, Brother Tim sent me a quote the other day, three kinds of believers. He said, with the message that we have for this day, and he said, people to turn and walk away from this message, there is no hope for them. I thought, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You believe there's a point of no return? Well, if the devil's got one, I believe God's got one. I believe that there's a point that you can cross over, that you can never go back and be the devil's property again. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You believe there is a point that you can get to, or you'll make mistakes and you'll fall short of the glory of God and you'll need refillings and all that sort of thing. But as far as ever belonging to the devil, you will never belong to him again. Why? Because that property was put up for sale and the Lord Jesus bought it and he took your soul, your title deed to the courthouse and struck everything, hallelujah, that was against you off, and he ran that title deed back and gave you the abstract of baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he stands out there and said, devil, I dare you. I dare you to try to take them back. They belong to me now. You can't get them no more, devil. Amen. Why? Aaron is standing in the midst of a congregation. He has made such an atonement. We are eternally secure.
As one believer in the teaching of the scriptures, I believe in eternal security. I don't believe you get it by putting your name on a book. I don't believe you get it by shaking a preacher's hand. I don't believe you get it by saying God sent a prophet. I believe you get it from the Eternal Security Company. The Lord God himself. Amen. Man asked Brother Van one time, he said, what are you doing hanging around these businessmen? He said, I am a businessman. He said, oh, I didn't know that. He said, yo, what do you do? He said, I'm an assurance. He said, he never caught what I said. I said, well, what's the name of the company? He said, Eternal Life. And the man said, I don't think I ever heard of it. He said, I'd be glad to talk over a policy with you. And he said, where's the headquarters for this company? He said, heaven. And then he caught what he said. His brother Bam tells it. I heard him tell it this week. He told the full gospel business people. He said, I'm still in this business. I'd like to talk to you all about a policy if you'd be interested in one. He said, Wilmer Snyder come up to my house one day. He said, me and Wilmer were in school together. He said, Wilmer sells insurance. He said, my brother sells for Prudential. He said, Wilmer, come up. He said, Betty, I'd like to talk to you about some insurance. He said, Wilmer, I got assurance. He never recalled what he said either. He said, my wife looked at me and thought, you hypocrite. He said, but he had an insurance policy one time and they didn't read the fine writing to him and all that. You remember him talking about it? He said, so he didn't have too good luck with insurance. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe your brother sold you insurance. He said, no. He said, I've got blessed assurance. Oh, he said, Billy, that's really nice. I really appreciate that. He said, but that won't put you in the graveyard out here. He said, but it'll get me out.
Glory! My natural birth will put me in. But my second verse will get me out.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, friends? Aren't you glad? Oh, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, as I've been reading the lives of these people, just pondering how you could love them so much after so much unbelief and fear and doubt. I have to confess, the attribute of your mercy and your patience, it's so much greater than what I fully see, Lord. I know we look at it as humans and we think people aggravate us and aggravate us. After a while, we just won't fool with them no more. If they're church people or whoever it is, if it's family, we just kind of avoid them. We just stay away from them. But these people have done it time and time again. And you and your mercy, you just kept reaching out. You are so determined to save your people. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if the people ever really appreciated Moses and Aaron, if they ever really knew how many times they stood in the gap between the living and the dead. I wonder if we do ourselves. Wonder if we understand. I'm sure it's so limited. We know, Father, that you came to this earth and you became our Savior. And then you sent Saviors. Luther, Wesley. It was a Savior. A Savior out of the mess that the people were in. Not to save them from sins, but to pull them out of that mess they were in. And then you sent a Malachi 4. And we thank you. You ain't stopped sending. You're still sending. Oh, there's no more promises for an 8th day messenger or some man that's going to come and take the last ride of Brother Bram's journey. We know some think they're the Indian chief and they're this, that, and the other. We just let all that nonsense go by, Lord. We don't pay no attention to it. It's just the chatter, chatter, chatter of the little pine squirrel trying to hinder us from our heavenly journey. But we are grateful, Father. So grateful that you still are in the saving business. Amen. Lord, may there be mamas and daddies that are not give up on their kids. May there be people in this church not give up on people who's cold and indifferent or people who's backslid. Oh, it's easy for us as humans just to forget about them. We prayed for them and prayed for them and called their names so many times in prayer. But Lord, help us. Help us that we might take the censer in our hand and take the incense, which is prayer. Praise God. May we keep calling their name until that burden lifts from us not to pray for them no more. Dear God, only you know what's in men's souls. We can look at people and think there's no hope for them. They've crossed the line. But yet, Lord, I'm glad we don't know who that is. Only you know it. Help us, Heavenly Father. May we in our little part, what little part we can play, may we be like Aaron. May we stand between the living and the dead. The bride of Christ today is standing in this position. Between the dead. And the living. Help us to keep preaching, Lord. There might be one more over there. That prodigal son. We know the entire parable was an unfolding of the predestinated mystery of God. You're the one who gave that parable. And you started the boy out at home. You started the boy out as a son. You started the boy out as being an attribute of his father. And then the boy took a journey. The boy got pride and all these things about him. And then the boy took a journey. And the boy got far and far away. But the boy never transformed from a boy to a pig. Or he never transformed from being the son of the father to a cow or a hog. But he was always a son. The mystery of the parable of the prodigal son unfolds the very attribute of predestination and election. And one day he came to himself. Hallelujah. He would have vain filled his belly with the husk which the swine did eat. And he came to himself and said, there are servants in my father's house who have more than enough to eat. And here I am down here. Now, he didn't turn into a pig and then all of a sudden turn back into a boy. But he was a prodigal son. A prodigal son. A prodigal son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder you slipped that wedding band of predestinated unmerited grace on our finger before the foundation of the world. We never become your children by the new birth. We were seed and therefore could be reborn. One day we come to ourselves and we started back to our Father. Praise God. When our Father looked across the field, hallelujah, he took off running. Praise God. Amen. I'm reminded of another story, Lord, told to us by your prophet. The boys got out of the war and they were shell-shocked with amnesia. Many of them didn't know who they were. They'd lost their dog tags. They'd lost their identification. So they'd put them on the train and go from one city to another, and they'd announce it. Say, like, if somebody from Johnson City lost a boy in the war, they said, well, we'll be at the Johnson City train station on Saturday evening at 12 o'clock, and then we'll be down at Elizabeth, and then we'll be over at Unicoi at 3 o'clock, and then we'll be over at Asheville by 5 o'clock. They just take them boys and haul them around from one place to another. Some of them, the parents or a wife or children would come in and they'd recognize them and say, Daddy, Daddy. But Daddy didn't know who they were. And some of them was never recognized. So they just take them back to the asylum. But the prophet tells us about a young boy. He comes to a train stop and they stop to get water or whatever it was. And the guards would let him out to walk around a little bit. Hallelujah. And he notices this one boy and he steps off the train. He begins to look around and he looks at the water tower and he gets a look on his face. And then he takes off walking and the guard don't stop him, but he lets him walk. And he walks up a hill and down a place and keeps on going. The guard just keeps on walking with him. And he walks up to the little rise and he looks down across the field. And there's an old farmhouse with an old daddy sitting on the porch. And when his daddy looks up through there and sees this boy coming, hallelujah, and this boy takes off and the daddy takes off. Praise God. Oh Lord, may we recognize something tonight from home. May it be the water tower. Who knows? Acts 2:38. That might be where we start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if we can get on the right path, we'll come to ourselves and you'll come running. Oh, it's beneath your dignity. You're the King of Kings, the Almighty, the El Shaddai. But you'll come running for one of yours. Hallelujah. Because you can humble yourself farther than any man could ever even comprehend. As Aaron came running among the people, the Ancient of Days will come running right in this place tonight. If you can find a young person, an old, a middle-aged, whatever, that says, Lord, I see myself. I come off this train, Lord, of amnesia. Forgot who it was. May we head toward the hill and go over the crest and we'll come down on the other side and we'll recognize a tree over here and there's a pond over there on the right. All of a sudden we look down there and there's Daddy. There's Daddy. And our amnesia is released. And we recognize and we hear our father say, go kill the fatted calf. Bring a ring. We know slaves are not permitted to wear gold. This is part of his identity. Slaves could not wear shoes and he was barefooted. So he said, go get some shoes and go get one of my robes. Hallelujah. And put on him. Glory be to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. I know this is so simple, but there again, Lord, if there'd be one soul that'd be touched here tonight or out on the internet, one would be saved from eternal death. How simple could we make that? How deep? What words could we put on it, Lord? Maybe there'd be one saved tonight, God. Maybe they made up their mind. They're going to give up. They're going to turn this way or that way. Maybe this sermon tonight saved them from a wrong decision. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, would you come running this way, Lord? Praise God. You love him, children. Maybe you're not lost tonight or you're not backslid, but you just got sidetracked on this and that and the other. Won't you step off this old train? Leading you from one town to another, to another, to another, searching after pleasure, searching after this and that and the other. Why don't you get off that train tonight? Amen. Let a guard, a posted guard standing there. I'll be that posted guard for you. I'll protect you till you find your way back to Daddy. I'll stand there. I won't let the enemy get you. I'll stand there. I'll watch. You don't know who you are. You don't recognize your place. But don't worry. I'll stand there with you if he's pulling on your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Sing it song for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The great I am.
Listen to the words of song now.
Immovable rock. Omnipotent, powerful.
Glory.
Awesome Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Victorious warrior, commanding king. conqueror and the only time. The only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He called me by surprise when God ran. Broken his heart, and I wondered then if things would ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love,
oh, Jesus,
for me.
You remember that night? Hallelujah.
Down that dusty road that I could see, it was the only time.
The only time. Hallelujah.
The only time I ever saw him run is when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son, said, "My son has come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, I felt his love for me again. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son has come." Son, do you know I still love you? He ran to me. The more I see, Father, the more I find you, and the more I find you, Father, the more I learn, I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can understand.
I condemn you, Satan. You are not our God. You are not our master. In the name of Jesus, may the presence of God, I pray, strengthen my sister tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hey! Hallelujah. Lord God, may this thing leave her. May this you see this spirit of Satan. I challenge you tonight, Satan. My king knocked on your door of hell and he took the keys away from you. You are defeated. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you away from my sister. May it leave her, Father.
You who stood on the bow of the ship that night, speak peace to this hurt. In the name of Jesus, deliver her, Lord God. Yes, sir, I'll say it like you said. I deliver you in the name of Jesus. Receive it, sister. Hallelujah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength, a present help in the time of trouble. Minister to her tonight, Lord God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, you are defeated, Satan. Hallelujah, receive it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Every healing, oh my God, my God.
to God. God bless you, saints. Remember, the service is up at Brother Ron's beginning tomorrow night. Brother Tim will be speaking, then I'll be there Friday. Brother Tim on Saturday, I'll be closing out on Sunday. So we certainly desire your prayers, looking for a great time in the Lord. Brother Darrell, would you come, buddy? Brother Matt Watkins will be here this weekend, so I know you're looking forward to that. But keep in mind, Jesus of the order of Melchizedek is always here, no matter who's standing here. He's among you, children. He's among us. Glory to God. I said, He's among us. Hallelujah. He's among us. He's standing between the dead and the living. He's stopping the plague. Oh my. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I don't know why I have to be the one to dismiss. It's not fair. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just see the picture painted so clear tonight, Lord. You step down from glory, Lord Jesus. Take on the plague of man, to defeat death, hell, and the grave, to break every chain of the enemy, Lord, that we may go free to worship you in spirit and in truth, dear God. Place the ring back up on our finger, Lord, of our rightful identity as your son, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, Lord. How we thank you, Father, for what you've done here in the service tonight, Lord, for the needs that were met among your children, Lord. We glorify your name, Father. Realizing, Lord, there's not a chain that Satan could place upon anyone, no matter their age or their gender, Lord, their nationality, their color, their skin. There's not a chain the enemy could place upon, Lord, that can stand there when you declare you're free. The blood of the Lamb has made us free. We stand tonight as a free people, Lord. We can unshackle from the enemy, Lord, the slave belt that he tries to place upon your people, Lord. Walk away free tonight. We thank you for that, Lord. Oh God, that your word has come, Lord, once more. Showed us the way, Lord Jesus. Bless your children now, Lord, as we make our way to our homes, Lord. May we think about the things that we have heard, Lord. We meditate, Lord, upon our hearts, Lord, as we live on our beds tonight, Lord. May it come back and feed us once more, Lord, as we feed back up on it again, Lord, we pray. Bless the services this weekend, Brother Donnie, and the different ones traveling, Lord. Be with them. Bless the meetings greatly, Father. We just love you, Lord, and we just thank you tonight for the privilege to know the truth. For you said in your word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father God, we are free tonight. And we thank you for that, Lord. For we see, God, California sinking, Lord, the things that the prophet has told us, Lord, and oh, God, we see these things coming, Lord, the sign of Sodom, Lord, the three-ites, Lord, upon the earth once again, the Abramites, Lord, and the Lotites and the Sodomites, all represented, Lord. God, the body change is right upon us, Lord. The hour is here, God. The things that you said in your word, Lord, it's here, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent a voice in this hour to speak to our hearts, Lord. They may not want the voice, God. They may not care for the message, but Lord, as for me and my house, Lord, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, that you have spread forth your great wings to hide us, Lord, in this hour of wrath, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. And we love you for it tonight, Father. Go with your children now, we pray. As we humbly ask these things. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed. Fear the Lord tonight. How we love you, Lord Jesus. How we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
My God is awesome. like you. And we worship you, oh God. And we praise your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord God. We lift our voices, Lord. Let the nations hear us cry, dear God. Let us make our stand above thy word, oh Lord. Oh, Father, how we praise you tonight, Lord God. How we praise you tonight, Lord God. How we lift you up, Lord, in the midst of the people, Father. Thou art our Savior, Lord. You are our healer. You are our God. You are our strength. You are our shield. You are our buckler, Lord. You are awesome, dear God. There is none like you, Lord. Oh, we look through all the earth, Lord. We look through all the heavens and we found one. None like you, oh God. For thou art God, Lord. You spew the stars out of your mouth and you live among them in the tent, oh Father. How we praise your holy name. Thou hast kept thy word, Lord. You remember the promises of old, dear God. You anointed your men servants, Lord, to speak thy word, God. And you covered the market, Lord. How we thank you, O Father, that thou keepest thy word, Lord. You remember your promises, dear God. How we praise your wonderful name. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord Jesus. You heal up our sickness, Lord. You deliver us, O God, from our bondage. Well, you raise us from the dead, Lord. You fill us with the Holy Ghost, God. How we thank you.